Good morning. Got a little rain out there. Cools things down, doesn't it? Supposed to snow tonight, you believe that? That's just to wake you all up and look a little tired. We're glad you're here. The Lord's glad you're here. We're going to study from the Holy Word of God. I noticed in one of the songs we sang, it talked about the holy day, the first day of the week, God has made special. And our worship to God is special and it is holy, and it is set aside to honor and to praise, to adore and to love the only true and living God. We do have a day today called Father's Day that is celebrated by custom and tradition. I'm glad we have the day. I got a present today, so I'm glad for Father's Day. It's not a religious day, but it is a time that's set aside to honor and express gratitude for our fathers. Some of you, your father is here today. Some of you, your father has gone on. Perhaps your father lives somewhere else. We still honor our fathers. I will always try to honor my father to the day that I die. As a matter of fact, yesterday was Flag Day, so I wore my kind of flag tie today. It's always going to be a special day to me because it is to our nation, but it was actually the day that my father was buried as well. So it's a day that I will not forget. Our country needs righteous fathers. I wish I could say that all fathers are righteous, but they're not. Some of you have had difficulties coming up in life because you didn't have a righteous father. Matter of fact, this is very difficult to say, but some come into the world and the father is actually very wicked. You probably don't know too many like that, but I assure you that it does happen, so we're sorry for that. God, in my judgment, have a special place for people that have had to go through those difficult things. God is the God of all comfort, and someday we will be with Him in glory. But we need righteous fathers. Righteous fathers are a great blessing to the nation. You want to bless a nation, have righteous fathers. We have so many today that are not righteous. The word righteous means they do what is right. A righteous person obeys the commandments of God. It's true that we're not sinless, but we obey the commandments of God because God gave the commandments and God expects us to follow them. And for those who become Christians, you will be cleansed by the blood of the Son of God. When I said that I'm glad you're here, I am glad that you're here and you can hear the gospel. You notice in the prayer a statement was made that people might hear or believe the gospel and be saved. That's how you're saved. That's how you're saved, by believing and obeying Jesus Christ, the gospel of Christ. In Proverbs 14 and 34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. So a nation is built up with righteous fathers, and this is not Mother's Day, but righteous mothers. Sometimes it's mixed in the family. Sometimes the mothers are not righteous. But one thing is certain, that when the little children grow up, and they get to a certain age, they make choices. And I've known of individuals that have grown up in the worst of circumstances, and yet they didn't make those bad choices that were made by the father or by the mother. We would encourage you to always go with the Bible. Encourage you to study the Bible, and I mean on a regular basis. Study the Bible. If you do not study the Bible, you will not have direction in this life, at least not by God. Oh, you'll go in some direction. Everybody goes in some direction, but it won't be the right direction. Good fathers are a great blessing in the Lord's church. Fathers have great responsibilities. They have a lot of work to do. God loves good fathers, doesn't He? God loves good fathers, good mothers. So we want to think about this subject. We'd like to think about it this morning, and I've decided to come back this evening as well. I hope you will come back. This subject affects us, all of us. You say, well, I'm not a father. Well, you might be the wife of a father. Maybe you're a child, obviously, of some father. And we have influence on fathers, and different fathers have an influence on us, so it's something that we should all be interested in. Obviously, if your father is alive, you don't just observe Father's Day. You know, it's a good day to call someone up or do something good. There's not anything wrong with that. Some don't even get that. But fathers should always be loved and appreciated. We make this point to begin with. Being a good father is not an easy task. I would be willing to say we have people here. I know your background quite a bit. Even some of you that are newer, you've done some very difficult things in life. We've had some that were in the congregation years ago that fought in World War II. And they went through a lot of great difficulties, a lot of pain, injury, and sorrow. I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. But fathers have a difficult task. It's not easy. Fathers who love their children have a full-time job. You know the difference, right? Between a full-time job and a part-time job. I'm not against either one of them. We got some be happy they just have a job, right? Any kind of job. But there's a difference. Being a father is a full-time job. I came across this quote by Reed Markham. I don't know his background, but very good quote. Being a good father is like shaving. No matter how good you shave today, you have to do it again tomorrow. For those that shave, you do it over and over, right? You don't get too fast on that shaving, do you? You all know what happens. You go too fast on that. But you're going to have to, if you're shaving, you're going to have to shave again the next day. May look real good when you get through. A good father is a father to the very end. I don't think you retire as a father. But I'll make it very clear in reference to when your children grow up and when, as they should, they go out of the home and they have separate lives. I do not support, have not supported, and will not support drugs, stupidity, immorality, or laziness. I do not support that. I don't plan on supporting that as a father. And if my children enter in and engage in those things, I do not support that. I will always love them. The father loved the prodigal son when he was off living a bad life. I think it's interesting he didn't go after him. He wasn't expected to go after him. That wouldn't have been right. The son had to straighten up. Son had to come back. He had to get down with the hogs before he repented of his sins. But a good father will always love his children. We have been studying in our Sunday morning Bible class from the book of 1 Kings. Brother Tom, doing an excellent job. I greatly enjoy listening to someone teach the Bible. I always gain from it. And I want to encourage you to come, because you need to know the Bible. You need to know the Bible. You need to have an understanding of the Bible. Whether you're a father, a mother, a daughter, a son, it doesn't matter what your situation is, everybody needs to hear about the Bible and study it. So I want to quote or read from 1 Kings 2:1-3. Find this to be a very important scripture in reference to fathers. It says, "Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon, his son. Charge means he commanded him. It's a charge. I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. Don't you like that? Huh? You be a man. Show yourself a man. You be strong. There's nothing wrong with that. We're to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. There's nothing wrong with masculinity. We have a society that wants men to become women and wants women to become men. But the Bible distinguishes between the two. It is probably the most fundamental thing that I could ever even imagine, that there is a difference between the male and the female, and yet some in higher office refuse to tell you even what a woman is. Isn't that amazing? It's frightening also that we are in this place in our society. David knew he was dying. He didn't have long to live. He said, I go the way of all the earth. That's where we're going, to the one place talked about in the book of Ecclesiastes. You read about it. We're all going to the one place. We're going back to the earth. In verse 3, and keep, listen to this. Keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses. You've got this thing written out, Solomon. We have the New Covenant and the New Testament written out right here. Starts with the book of Matthew and the life of Christ. We have God's Word. We have the Old Testament for our learning. So you keep His commandments, His judgments, His testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. David taught Solomon what was right. Did Solomon do what was right? For a while. Matter of fact, initially you could see the fruit of David's teaching. If you go back and read Proverbs chapter 4, you'll have a statement made there in that chapter about how that his father taught him. David taught him and gave him a lot of wisdom, told him to make wisdom the first thing, seek it. And he told him to keep the will of God. If you do, you're going to prosper in every way that you go. But Solomon just could do that for a little while. He just did that for a while. And then he got to marrying too many wives and had 700 wives and 300 concubines. And these wives were idolaters. And God had warned them, they will turn away you from God. They will turn away you from righteousness. And they did. And the wisest man in the world at the time, and he said they wouldn't be wiser, but the wisest man in the world became the biggest fool that ever lived, going into idolatry. But there should be a special bond between a father and his children. Hopefully this bond will grow stronger as the years go by. When you have young children, they look to the father. I don't think there's an exception. All the young children look to the father. What are they looking for? They're looking for love or affection. They're looking for direction. And I would add, they're looking for correction. Now, you may not think that little children want correction, but I think they do. Because they seem like that they certainly do better after they're corrected. And they need to be corrected. I guess all of us, I hope you haven't participated in it, but I guess all of us have probably been to the medical office or the dental office, and you've got a mother or father in there, and a little child does everything, throws the magazines, books around, rants, raves, and don't do that, don't do that. I'm going to spank you, don't do that. My children were good at tempting me on the way out, you know, when you get to the grocery store, you've got those candy bars and all that stuff. They kind of act up right there. That didn't make any difference. They're not going to get that. They put on a big show. Children need to be taught right from wrong. There's nothing wrong with correcting them. If you don't correct them, there's no chance of them going to heaven. In Ephesians 6 and verse 4, We have his admonition to fathers. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I think we need to deal with the first point. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. You know, children, it takes a little bit to rouse them up. But there's a warning there. God knew, because of the position of the father, that maybe he might take some kind of delight in getting the children angry, make them have wrath against them. So a father's warned about that. And we need to listen to both parts of that scripture, those that are fathers. And the second part, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Of course, we have a shortage on that, do we not? We have a shortage on that. I guess it's just something I've thought about, but I've thought for many years it'd be nice to take out a half a page or a page of the newspaper every week and have an article in there on bringing your children to study the Bible. Bring your children to study the Word of God. Come yourself to study the Word of God. What do you think the chances are of your children going to heaven if you are not faithful to attendance? If you're not faithful to God, if you're not out serving God, if you have no zeal for God, what do you think the odds are of your children turning out as they should turn out in the sight of God? I don't think it's very good. In Proverbs 15:5, a fool despiseth his father's instruction. The general rule is, the parents, out of all the people that live on the earth, the general rule is the parents want their children to do right. Some will even say, don't do as I do, but do as I say do. But that's not good either. You need to set an example. Fool despises his father's instruction. So you have a father, especially a righteous father, and he is given instruction, or a righteous mother given instruction, and you don't listen. You don't care. You just do whatever you want. I think that's very common. The latter part of that, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. Reproof is the ideal. You show someone they're wrong. You guide someone in the right direction. You reprove them, correct them at times. You have to listen to that. Matter of fact, in the book of Proverbs, it's called the reproof of life. You can't have life, spiritual life, and you can't go to heaven without being able to be reproved at times. And then I like this one. Well, we could go through the book of Proverbs and spend quite a few lessons, and hopefully in the future we will have more on these subjects. Proverbs 19:18, chasten thy son while there is hope. That caught my attention. I put it in yellow on my little outline. That would imply, in my judgment, there's a time in which it's not going to work. You lose hope. While there is still hope, you chasten your son, which would include the daughter, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. You adults, do you remember how you did before you got a spanking or whipping, whatever you want to call it, beating, whatever you want to call what you got? You remember what you did? Most of the time, you start screaming, yelling, nothing's ever touched them. This is what my kids did. I probably did the same thing. Oh, no, daddy, and you think that's going to help, you know? It didn't help my daddy, just piling on extra. But that's it. Now, God knows how little children do sometimes. Don't spare for his crying. You know, I don't need to spank him. He's crying. No, he needs correction at times. And I'm not talking about beating and abusing. There are people that do that. We're not talking about that. I think we had some in high school that were that way with the paddle. I think they overdid it. I mean, I tell you what, when you put on a giant welts and make people fall to the ground, that's pretty hard. We're not talking about that. But a good father provides love, leadership, and discipline. No organization can possibly be successful. Got the no without discipline. I don't care what it is. It's a school, it's a nation, it's a state, or it's a home. There's got to be discipline. There have to be rules. The rules must be enforced. Actually, this is in many ways a study of the whole Bible. God gives the rules, and God's going to enforce the rules. Fortunately, because we fail at times, we can be cleansed by the blood of Christ. We can go to heaven, though we are not sinless. But we can walk in the light of God's Word. So Father provides love, leadership, and discipline, and hopefully the mother will support that. It is easy to be a bad father, but being a good father is what I would call a monumental task. Not everybody becomes a father. Some are married, they don't have children, nothing wrong with that. Some don't get married. There are all kinds of circumstances in life. But most of us have had a father. Well, we've got a father in some sense, no matter what, if we're here. I have a poem, do not know the author. It calls, "A Little Fellow Follows Me," and it would be true of all children. "A careful man I ought to be, a little fellow follows me. I do not dare to go astray, for fear he'll go the self-same way. Not once can I escape his eyes. Whatever he sees me do, he tries. Like me, he says he's going to be that little chap who follows me. He thinks that I'm good and fine, believes in every word of mine. The base in me, he must not see, that little chap who follows me. I must remember as I go through summer sun and winter snow, I'm building for the years to be, that little chap who follows me." You've got to think about this as parents. You're building your children. You're constructing, in a sense, their values, their morals, by teaching them the Word of God. And that building is either going to stand or collapse. If it does not have the Word of God, it will not stand. And there's nothing that is more fearful than the thought of being lost for all eternity. That thought just sickens me to think about that. But it's true for those that do not obey the Lord and are cleansed by the blood and obey the gospel. Proverbs 22 and verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." My own view on that, and that's all it is that's a general rule, because there are general rules in the Bible. I will give you an illustration. Hebrews 9 and 27, "As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." That's the general rule. But there are exceptions. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Elijah was taken up in a whirlwind in a chariot. So we have some exceptions. But if you said there was no exception, I wouldn't argue with you. I told you it's just judgment. But I base it on the fact that two facts. Number one, that there are times similar things in the book of Proverbs after studying it for many years. And that I've known parents, and of course you're not there and you don't know everything about them, but it's hard to think that they did not teach them right from wrong. You can teach your children, you can bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. They can come to every single service. I know illustrations of this. Come to every single service. Never miss a worship. Study the Bible with them at night. Read the Bible to them. Pray with them. You can do all of that, and they can grow up and still go astray. I've seen it all of my life. It's sad. That brings us to this point. Being a good father is a great responsibility, isn't it? It is a great responsibility. The father is responsible to provide for his family. I can recall when my father had to work more than one job to take care of his children. He was very young. And We would get in the car. I don't remember how many of us we had at that time. We end up with seven. My mom ended up having seven. I don't remember how many we had when we were smaller, but I can still remember that we would meet my father at work. He worked in a factory, in a foundry. And we'd meet him at work. He'd come out at lunchtime and eat lunch sometimes with us. And then he'd go back to work, and he had another job as well. So we didn't see him a whole lot, but he took care of us. The father is expected to work hard in order to provide clothing. Children should appreciate that. There's a lot of work out there. Some of you have not done a lot of that. Some very young ones haven't done it yet. But hopefully you will look back and be grateful for all that hard work. Clothing, shelter, food, medical care, education, all needs. Father is responsible for that. You cannot be a righteous father and just have children and don't care for children. That's not what's in the Bible. And the Bible teaches marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. We're going to be at the judgment day. All the fathers, all the mothers, we're all going to stand there. And the father is expected to take care of his own. 1 Timothy 5:8, but if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Sometimes the father's labor is not appreciated as much as it should be. If your father's alive, it's a good day to thank him for all that he has done for you, all that he is doing for you, and probably all that he will do for you. Some have righteous fathers, righteous grandfathers, have no idea what they've been blessed with. Some really don't. Gratitude should not be confined to a single day. That brings us to this point, that being a good father means setting a good example. There is great power in the influence of a good example, is there not? My wife's father was an elder in the Lord's church. And I guess I'm prejudiced, but you couldn't get a better father. My wife has said on many occasions, it was never discussed ever in our family if we were going to go to worship. But that wasn't discussed. We knew where we were going to go on that first day of the week. And, of course, he was blessed with a wonderful wife as well. So that's a great thing. And your children, our children, were able to see that. They could see that. They lived long enough to see those two righteous lives. They even had more blessing than many other people. But it is the case that the father could have the best influence in the world and the children, when the grandfather or great-grandfather and the children still, they do as they want to do. Someone said this, every father should remember that one day his children will follow his example instead of his advice. There's a lot of truth to that. Children see a certain example. Don't you look at examples? I read books about history. I read books about individuals and how they've stood up for what is right. Our founding fathers, read about them. No, they were not sinless. We got so much ignorance on how good they really were that it'd be nice to have more tutors. I've thought about that on the side someday. If I'm not able to preach full time, I would like to do a little tutoring on things like that because of our country. There's so many ignorant people. A father should be an example of reverence toward God. That's right at the top of the list, isn't it? Reverence toward God. Solomon, we mentioned him, how he became a great fool, but he has so much wisdom. So you can be very wise and you can abandon that wisdom. You can be very righteous and you can abandon your righteousness. Read the book of Ezekiel, chapter 18. But Ecclesiastes 12:13-14, end of the book. And I encourage you to read that book. It's a book that has a lot of wisdom in it. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is a whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. And when God looks at us, He'll know whether or not that we really did have this reverential fear of God. And then that will prompt you to keep God's will. Will prompt you to read the book. How can you do what God wants you to do if you don't know what to do from His Word? How do you know that? At one time when I was doing electrical work, they said, y'all are going to take a test. And they gave us some books. They had all that stuff in there about electricity and Ohm's law and everything. A lot of those things you don't even think about and use, but they was all in that book. Said, you study that book. You had to take that test. If you didn't study that book, you didn't know it. You did not pass. They didn't fire you. You just didn't go anywhere. You just didn't go anywhere. You weren't considered an electrician if you didn't pass that test. This is the book right here. You want to know what to do? Not an electrical book. This is a God's righteous book, holy book, with God's Word. In Hebrews 11 and 7, by faith Noah, listen to this, being warned of God, moved of things not seen as yet. Here's the part, moved with fear. Why did he do it? He had a reverential fear for God. God said, this is going to happen. There's going to be a flood. Build this ark. Noah didn't argue with God. He was moved with fear because he believed God's Word. Every week people come to services. I hope I'm wrong, but I think I could safely say throughout the many years that there are some that always leave and they never really fear God. And I thought about that. I thought about it yesterday. You know what my conclusion was? My conclusion was, these are just words. They're just words. Preacher's getting up, he's just giving words. And the words don't bother me, but if I could open up that curtain and show you hell, you'd get down here and you would obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. You wouldn't fool around with it. You'd have some fear. You could see the devil. But you see, we don't see him. We don't see hell. But it says, by faith, Noah. Being warned of God. God has warned us. You've got to have faith. You don't have faith, you're lost. You can't be saved without faith. And it says he prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Well, you know, it had something to do with it. I say that Noah was saved by the grace of God. There's no doubt about it. But God told him what to do. He built that ark, and they were saved because he built the ark. They got in the ark. By the which he condemned the world. Because of his faith in God and his building the ark and the getting in the ark, doing what God said, the whole world was condemned. They were all lost. They didn't listen. Pretty broad, isn't that? 8 souls. And became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So being a good father entails a lot. Certainly a lot more things than what we've talked about this morning. But it does entail these three things. Number one, it is not an easy task. Being a good father is a great responsibility. And being a good father means setting a good example. I hope we'll think about these things. For those of us, our fathers have gone on, we think about what they taught us. And we are to a great degree, we are what we are because of our fathers and because of our mothers. If you're not a child of God, we encourage you to trust in Jesus, to trust in His blood, to come to Him and give Him your heart. You do that by turning against the world, repenting of all sins. Repentance is a change of mind that leads to a reformation of life. It is a result of godly sorrow. knowing that you have sinned, you have violated God's law, you are lost. You need to have forgiveness. You need to come to Jesus through the gospel. And in the Great Commission, he says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. If you are not a child of God, you have the terms in Mark 16 and 16 and other scriptures. If you're an erring child of God, you can come back. We will pray with you, pray for you, do all that we can to help you so that heaven might be your home. If we can assist you in any way, please, please come as we stand and as we sing.